February 11th marks the anniversary of the 1979 Iranian Revolution. The Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, said that Iran will deliver a punch on the 31st anniversary of this Islamic revolution. What is meant is not yet known. There's a lot of speculation that there might be some kind of a showcase of a new drone or maybe their new missile defense system that they have announced. Iran claims to have a missile defense system that is yet to be launched. Iran's general said that the new missile system is more powerful than Russia's 300 system, which is a range of about 100 miles and a height range of about 90,000 feet. Whatever they will announce, it can't be good, since they also announced that Iran will start enriching nuclear fuel as early as Tuesday for 10 nuke plants. Iran is about to raise their enrichment level from 3.5% to 20%. Which is also raising tensions with the U.S. So whatever Iran has up its sleeve for the 11th of February can only be speculated for now, but a punch sounds a bit more drastic than just announcing a weapon or unmanned armed drones, doesn't it? Up next, Douglas Hagman from Homeland Security. Maybe he can shed some light on this for us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Douglas Hagman now. Douglas is the director of the Northeast Intelligence Network, CEO of the Hagman Investigative Services as well. He monitors very strange websites, terrorist-related websites, and here he is for the hour on Coast to Coast. Doug, good morning.
Well, good morning, George. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. You were the only one I could think of that could give us the kind of input that we need on this very bizarre story. February 11th, it's coming up, and their supreme leader is saying that they're going to deliver a punch to the West. What, in your opinion, Doug, does this mean?
Well, you know what? That's the question of the hour and question of the week here. What I think is really significant with this is not only what is being said, but who is saying it. Usually we see the president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, speaking and making these types of threats. But in this case, you've got the supreme leader of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, the world Shia leader, Ali Khamenei, saying that by the will of God, we will in fact deliver a punch, a blow to the West. And, you know, it's no secret. This was said on Sunday, and it's no secret that Khamenei has an apocalyptic mindset that's guiding everything that he says and he does. I think what we're actually witnessing here in this case is a rather unique confluence of events. We had on February 2nd, Iran launch the equivalent of an ICBM in a non-polar orbit, which is reportedly a commercial satellite type of operation, when in fact it's a multi-purpose, multi-use instrument. In fact, it could be a test run for their ICBM capabilities. It could, in fact, carry a small type of device large enough, however, to cause an EMP type of an explosion over the United States in the worst-case scenario. If not this one, perhaps the next one or the one after that.
I mean, do you think they're capable right now to do something like that at this point?
Boy, you know, that's a great question. And my information comes from officials within the government who don't talk publicly. And by the way, I've found that the knowledge of people who talk about this kind of thing, those who know usually don't talk, and those who talk usually don't know as much. You know, it's an inverse proportion type of thing. But what I've been hearing with a very unusual consistency is the fact that Iran is accelerating their efforts dramatically, well over and above anything they've done in the past. But do I think they're capable today of doing it? I'm relying on what I've heard from intelligence officials, and their answer to me is, we just don't know. And that's really disturbing to think that the most powerful country in the world in terms of intelligence
doesn't know. Now, exactly. Is it possible that this is just rhetoric that they're spouting as opposed to doing anything drastic? I mean, to me, Doug, when they say we're going to throw you a punch that you can't believe in so many words, those are fighting words.
Oh, sure they are. And especially coming from the supreme leader of Iran versus
Ahmadinejad.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, we have to take a look at this a little bit differently than the past threats that we've seen over the years. And this is coming at the 31st anniversary, as you mentioned, of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. Just based on my analysis of the different sources I've spoken to, I think that there is some type of demonstration planned, not necessarily aggressive in terms of starting a war or attacking a country, but some sort of display of force.
Something shocking.
That will have the world talking. Exactly. And this could very well be a test of a nuclear device, or we do know that this past week they've been announcing, Iran's been announcing a lot of technical and military advances, more so than usual.
You don't think they'll attack Israel on the 11th, do you?
Well, you know, boy, I wish I had a crystal ball, but I don't believe, not directly.
They can't be that stupid.
Well, you know.
Or maybe they are.
Well, you know, again, their adherence to the Islamic form of eschatology and their belief in this apocalyptic scenario in ushering that in, you know, who knows? I mean, the unpredictability factor here is just off the charts. But I personally, again, just from what I've heard, my own personal assessment, I don't believe that an attack against Israel is in the offing, at least not directly, certainly via proxy, as they have in the past through Hezbollah and Hamas. But directly, I don't believe so. But I do believe that we will see this week some sort of military or technological display.
Are we putting, do you know, our troops on alert? Are we ready for something? I have heard over the last 3 weeks that Israel has been conducting maneuvers, not tests, but maneuvers around Iran. I've heard that the U.S. Fleets have been close to Iran. What's going on?
Well, we do have contacts in Israel, and we have verified that there has been strategic evacuations from northern Israel, for example, of non-essential military personnel and movement of military assets to various parts of Israel that have not taken have not occurred in the past. So there's some level of expectation. Now, whether that is contingent upon the rhetoric or the threat of February 11th, I don't know. But certainly the rhetoric is ratcheting up. This past week or about a week ago, I believe it was, Israel intercepted some arms destined to Hezbollah, and back in November, they in fact, although it seems like old news in the context, it's not. Israel intercepted a ship containing tons, like 300 tons of weapons and munitions from Iran to Syria, headed to Syria. And when you put this whole scenario in context, and include the February 2nd, 2010 meeting by the heads of American intelligence about warnings domestically here in this country of some sort of domestic attack taking place in the next 6 months, one has to be very concerned about this entire picture. I think it's all part. These are all snapshots of a larger moving, constantly moving picture. And I think that we have to take that in that context in order to understand what is taking place today.
Would they consider Israel the West when they say that?
Well, no. They consider the United States the West.
We're the West.
We're
right.
The West, right.
We are not England. States. We're the West.
Yeah, right? Despite the fact that they want to annihilate Israel as a nation. and they have made that no secret. When they make reference to the West, they're talking about North America. They're talking about the United States and Canada. And when they refer to, obviously, Israel, they refer to as the little Satan, and Israel, the occupiers of Palestine. So this is a message directed toward the West, toward us, this specific message for February 11th.
I've been told that Iran has been training around 5,000 Hezbollah commandos. They want to try to seize some towns. So who knows what's going on, Doug?
Well, you know what? It's interesting because there has been since the June election of Ahmadinejad, there has been a lot of opposition within Iran, and in preparation for the anniversary, the 31st anniversary, they are deploying. The Iranians are deploying numerous security forces to confront opposition activists. So you've got that in the mix, which really can't be or shouldn't be confused with the military actions, which are evident. There is concurrent military actions along with the deployment of security forces to confront the opposition activists. And there have been many preemptive arrests, by the way, of potential protesters for this particular anniversary.
The city they apparently have their eyes on has 55,000 people there in near the Mediterranean, of course. Mm-hmm. Nahariya, I think, is the city. And I'm just wondering if Israeli forces are guarding them.
You know, again, that's a great question. I don't have specific answers to that, but I think we can make some reasonable conclusions based on the open source evidence as well as the information provided by the intelligence sources. I think we're close, Georgia. I really do. I think we're close to the, you know, we've always said that the window to attack Iran or to neutralize their nuclear.
Maybe they're going to announce they're on the moon already with astronauts. Who knows?
Well, you know, I really think I don't want to make light of this announcement simply because of who's saying it and what they're saying and the words, because words do mean things and the words are pretty significant. I'm very concerned with the nuclear, as you mentioned earlier, the nuclear enrichment, the fact that, and personally, I believe that the Iranians are far more advanced nuclear-wise than they have been ever before, than intelligence.
Well, and his words here, Douglas, a stunning punch during the week, this week, coming up, just a few days, will leave us stunned. I mean, didn't 9/11 leave us stunned? So what if he knows of some kind of terrorist action and he's just not saying anything?
Well, that's a possibility. I mean, 9/11 certainly left us stunned and scarred. I think equally, we would be equally stunned. The world would be equally stunned if, in fact, Iran detonated the nuclear weapon and said, hey, we are nuclear capable right now. I mean, that's a possibility.
I mean, this could be ego talking. Maybe they're going to unveil a drone and say, look what we have, and think we're stunned. I don't know.
Well, you know, again, given the number of announcements this week on the run-up to the anniversary of the technological and military advances, I think that a drone certainly is a possibility.
But does that leave you stunned? If they unveiled a drone and say, hey, we've got a drone now, are you stunned?
No.
I'm not stunned.
No. It certainly that doesn't carry the weight.
I'm not stunned. A new missile. I'm not stunned.
Well, a new missile that would have the capability of destroying, you know, or hitting.
Well, if it had a nuke on it, I'd be stunned.
Yeah. I do think that this has a lot to do with the nuclear issue. I mean, when it comes right down to it. And again, the combination of intelligence sources we have believe the references are nuclear in nature, militarily nuclear in nature, and offensive nuclear in nature. What they do with that, again, whether it's just a mere display, or in fact, it's an attack of some type.
I mean, they're not going to admit if they have a nuke, they're not going to admit it anyway, are they?
No, they would do exactly what they were doing right now. They would say, there will
it's peaceful purposes and keep doing what they're doing.
Right, and then we will wake up the following morning and see the remnants of a nuclear test, successful test of a nuclear device in Iran, and then we would be put on notice of the fact that they are nuclear capable. But the 2/11 date is one that I think we have to watch specifically. By the way,
that's Thursday night, right?
That's
for us,
indeed. Yes.
So it's coming up.
And the 13th, of course, is the actual anniversary, by the way, of the Ayatollah returning to power.
That's a Saturday.
Right.
Slow news day. They won't get enough exposure.
But, also, too, we have to look at what they can do to us economically with the oil bourse and such. I think it's interesting that we've got Iranians. Finance minister talking, saying that all preparations have been made to launch the oil bourse. Now, it doesn't meet the qualifications, in my terms, of that stunning blow or that punch. But all things combined, we have to consider. And again, considering their apocalyptic mindset with that.
Well, that's an important point. They are suicidal, aren't they?
Well. Yeah, suicidal by Western standards.
Right.
They think
they're martyrs.
Well, they're preparing for the return of the Mahdi, and we've had conversations about this before. The eschatological aspects of things. It's they are preparing. I mean, they believe in this generation. That the Mahdi will return, and they're going to usher in the return of the Mahdi, that's something that's not as well understood by Western officials, by Western intelligence officials, as much as it should be. I think that that aspect has to play into.
You know what I find bizarre? Nobody has heard anything about what this announcement's supposed to be or what they're supposed to do. You would think the Mossad of any organization would already have the lowdown on this.
Well, perhaps they do. And perhaps that's what we're seeing, which you referenced in terms of the movement.
Movement, yeah.
The various things that are taking place in Israel. Unlike the West, unlike America, Israel keeps things relatively close to the vest. And I think that's an important thing for their survival, given their location and their size. So I would be watching this very, very carefully. I mean, I'm very concerned about this announcement. I know in some intelligence officials.
So you don't think this is anything to be to scoff at?
No, of course not. Again, considering the source, considering the exact wording of this, I do not believe that this is anything whatsoever to dismiss. What it is, I don't know, but I would suspect nuclear in nature, military in nature, a display of capabilities at the very least.
Still not stunning to me. You?
Well,
I expect them to have this already.
Well, I think most informed people do, but. What would happen if we woke up Friday morning and learned that, in fact, Iran has got the nuclear capability? And
I think there'd be an instant attack, don't you?
No, I'm not sure by us. Right. I think Israel for
maybe.
Sure.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. We'll be back in a moment. Let's take phone calls with you, Douglas Hagman, on Coast to Coast AM. Our next Coast to Coast show, we're going to be talking about Charles Fort, the man who invented the supernatural. Looking forward to that show. When we come back, let's take phone calls with Douglas Hagman right here on Coast to Coast AM. As they said in the old musical, Oliver is a puzzlement. No, that was The King and I. He's a puzzlement, isn't it?
Indeed.
So who knows, Douglas?
You know what, George? I was just thinking, if I had to go out on a limb here, and I suspect that you would agree that that statement would reflect, the statement made by Kamini would indicate something visual, at least, something that would be
spectacular.
Right. If I had to go out on a limb here and guess, I would say my best assessment would be that on or about February 11th, Iran is going to deorbit that commercial satellite, the HOPE satellite, that's in a very, very low Earth orbit, basically very much equivalent to an ICBM-type orbit, that they're going to bring that in. And when they do, it's going to be a very spectacular visual display. Perhaps there's you know, something aboard that that could make this an even more visual display. Where it's going to come in at, I'm not sure. But that accompanied by some type of an announcement that, that they, in fact, intend to or have the capability of attacking the West, I just suspect that launch of that satellite on February 2nd has something to do with this particular announcement. That's my best guess.
Okay, it could be. To the phones we go, Glendale, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Ed, get us started. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. My question is, was the actual wording going to deliver a punch? Because a punch is personal. A punch is one to another. And a punch is not showing. A punch is actually doing. Are they going to attack the United States?
Well, a Farsi, of course, the interpretation was the verbiage of punch. Doug?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think, based on all of the various translations that I saw, it just reads very simply, Iran is set to deliver a punch that will stun world powers. That was in substance, the actual statement made. All right. So I don't think there's any ambiguity to that.
The newspapers in Iran, all of them are pretty hush about this, aren't they?
Well, yeah, state-controlled media, they in fact are, and again, they're dealing with an internal crisis as well, but they do publish, you know, what Khamenei does say, and in fact, that was published, I believe it was, I'm not certain with the change of dates, I believe that was published on Sunday, this past Sunday, but it did make the papers there, so to speak.
Israeli warships on their way to the Persian Gulf as we speak, expected to be there by Thursday. Thursday is the date we're talking about. What's
Correct.
Going on? Now what's going on? Now I'm even more confused.
Well, you know, I think that there's a preemptive military concern.
This was just sent to me, by the way, by our friend in British Columbia who found the story.
Right. And you know, I mean, There's a military movement of Israeli warships and all global powers all the time. It's interesting. The timing of this is interesting. The fact that they're going to the Persian Gulf. And military leaders have long suspected that any type of offensive by Israel would come from ships, missiles from ships from that area. So that it indeed caused for concern.
Here we go. New Haven, Connecticut, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, George.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Good morning. George, you don't believe in coincidence.
No.
I woke up very troubled about an hour ago and turned on the radio and happened to hear Doug would be on. And this particular story has been bugging me for a couple of days, well, since it was announced. Doug, my question is, you started to say 211 is significant. And I remember earlier guests saying that 11 is significant in the eschatology that they follow. And would you mind following up on that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because some years ago we had received, or we had monitored websites that had nothing but 11s or a series of ones or combinations of ones to make the number 11. Of course, we've got 9/11. You've got a lot of significance relative to the number 11 as well as the date 11. 2/11 being the anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. You've got 9/11. So, you know, again, it's an interesting confluence of events. I don't know if there's anything meaningful with respect to the timing and the number 11 in this case. But it, like George, I don't believe in coincidences either. And I've, in 23, 24, 25 years as an investigator, I've never seen a valid coincidence that didn't reflect some sort of pre-planning.
Have you noticed any mainstream media covering this story?
You know what? They've been very quiet.
It's weird.
Yeah, I've actually had to go to Asia and to Israel to get the news on this particular story. Aside from, of course, your program talking about it, very few are talking about this announcement. Very few people. And is that perhaps by design, to perhaps keep the American or the Western public in the dark about potential world threats? I don't know. But again, I don't believe.
I don't even hear President Obama talking about this. Nobody.
No, the last time Obama said anything about this, or anybody from our government said anything about Iran, was Gates, concerned with Secretary of Defense Gates, concerned that Iran was making improper statements about being close to a uranium enrichment agreement. So nothing about 211, nothing about this specific threat of this punch.
Nothing would surprise you, right?
No, not at all.
I want to have you back, let's say, Thursday, assuming there's been an announcement made or something has happened, and we'll talk about it again.
You know, I sense we will have something to talk about, and I would like that very much, because I do believe that something will take place, that this is different than it's framed differently, and this is entirely different than what we've heard over the past, well, since 9/11, we'll say. I think that this should dominate, until proven otherwise, this should dominate the national security topics.
Let's go to Linda in Lady Lake, Florida. Hi, Linda.
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I must say, Mr. Norrie, that you are a fantastic person. You really are. Blessed, touched. Anyways, how impressed or what was the word you were using? Stunned would you be if they brought Apollyon back out, or Saddam Hussein?
That's interesting. Well, I don't think Hussein would come up, but
no, I think.
What if they had Obama, Osama bin Laden, not Obama, Osama bin Laden, and they pulled him out?
Well, wow. You know, for quite a few years, I've been in contact with a former CIA station chief who was stationed in the Middle East. And we've gone back and forth. I personally believe Obama is dead.
Osama.
You got me doing this. I believe Osama bin Laden is dead. That's my personal opinion. I've seen no proof of life. However, the CIA, former CIA station chief who I referred to, who has a lot of experience in these issues, has insisted that Osama bin Laden has been under the protective custody of the Iranian Republican Guard.
Well, we know his family has been.
Absolutely, we have. The last time we spoke, we talked about that. Yeah. So, yeah, you know what? That would surprise me, only because for all this time, I thought he was dead. I mean, that's the only way it would surprise me.
So you think all these audio tapes we're hearing of reportedly fresh things that they say are purportedly from Osama bin Laden are made up, maybe?
Well,
by somebody. I'm not saying who.
Well, you know, it's interesting because this past year, and I think in January, the FBI published digitally aged pictures of an aged Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, yeah.
And they admitted, in fact, using a Spanish politician as the basis for this aged photograph. The fact that Osama bin Laden may be dead is gaining a lot of acceptance within the major media and within the intelligence industry themselves. And don't forget what Bhutto had said about Osama bin Laden being murdered. I think that was one of her last interviews back in 2007 with David Frost on November 2nd, 2007. Benazir Bhutto claimed that bin Laden had been murdered by Omar Sheikh. So, you know, again, well, an essay, too, was published by the American Spectator in March of 2009, stating that bin Laden had been dead for a number of years. Now, who knows? But, yeah, I mean, if Iran produced Osama bin Laden, it would surprise me only to the extent that I thought he had been dead.
Now, what happens if this date comes and goes and nothing happens? Then what? Then he looks like a fool, doesn't he?
Well.
And I'm talking about the Khamenei.
I think that in the eyes of the Western world and people listening who are tired of the topic of terrorism and who believe that terrorism is highly overblown, I think, well, you know, it's just another day, and people would accept that. But I think among his peers, the mullahs, the theocracy, I think that he's got to deliver. I really do. I think he's got to deliver on this statement in order to maintain some level of credibility. And that's what worries me so much. Again, going back to who said it and what he said.
On February 1st, Iranian President Ahmadinejad, this is not the Islamic leader, says that Iran will deliver a harsh blow. All right, so now we've gone from stunning punch, all right, harsh blow to the global arrogance on this year's anniversary. Now, he doesn't explain what it is, but his verbiage is a harsh blow. Khamenei says stunning punch. I mean, those are fighting words. You know, if you're in a schoolyard and some guy says, I'm going to deliver a harsh blow to you, he's going to punch you, right?
One would think I certainly agree that there is some level of physical threat there. And again, the translation does indicate that, you know, without any confusion.
Tell me they don't have suitcase nukes. Please tell me they don't have suitcase nukes.
Well, in my conversations with Dr. Paul Williams and...
he thinks they do.
Yep, and Kurt Weldon. Kurt Weldon especially, even though some report his intelligence was based on a faulty source, my dialogue, although limited, with Mr. Weldon suggests that, in fact, there are suitcase nuclear devices pre-planted in this country and operational in this country. And there are Iranian assets in this country to operate that. And don't forget, we have this influx of Russian scientists into Iran and working with Iran. So there's no lack of knowledge with respect to suitcase or small nuclear.
If anything happens in this country or to U.S. assets on that day, we've got to blame Iran. Would you agree?
I agree. Absolutely, 100% I agree. Barring any definitive evidence to the contrary, what other likely suspect would there be? Or if not Iran directly, certainly by proxy.
Let's go to Rock Island, Illinois. Craig, it's your turn. Get to squeeze you in here, Craig. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was just wondering if the stunning punch might possibly be the detonation of one of those pre-placed small nuclear weapons.
Well,
if they're there, you never know. It's a gross act of war, and there will be retaliation, to be sure. Here's the problem. How do you know who brought the suitcase nuke into the country?
Aside from the signature that the blast would create, and, you know, we could trace the origin of that particular device. But
not if it's blown up.
Even after a blast, there are devices that can trace where that uranium, for example, had originated, which surprised me, by the way. I didn't realize that until I was speaking with a nuclear scientist.
So the Chinese gave it to the Iranians, or the Russians gave it to the Iranians?
As one would say in the investigative business, the chain of custody. would be very murky. And how would you directly blame Iran other than the circumstantial evidence that we have with respect to the
announcement?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So. Nobody else is taking blame for it, that's for sure.
Or credit.
And, you know, and it's wild speculation, which we're not going to do, but...
Well, I think it's important to put all of the, you know, not to confide. I think it's important that we need to think out of the box, because I think for the longest time, up to and including 9/11, I think the reason we got into 9/11 is because we confined ourselves to thinking within the box.
I just think we're foolish as a nation if leaders like Ahmadinejad and their Islamic leader spout off words like stunning blow, punch, and we don't do anything about it.
You know, I agree with that. The only thing that we've attempted to do is to initiate and maintain some sort of dialogue. And how one does that with a person
how do you talk to somebody who acts like that?
Well, I don't believe it's possible to engage in any type of meaningful dialogue with the
bottom line, Doug, Iran was the problem from the get-go, not Iraq. We wasted our resources in the wrong country.
Well, I agree with you. I think that I think that history is going to is not going to be kind with respect to what happened in Iraq, and that comes from me being an initial supporter of the invasion of Iraq. I think historically it was probably a tactical mistake, and while I believe Iraq is and was a state sponsor of terrorism, I have to think that Iran probably would have been higher on the food chain in that respect.
You know, had Hitler said, we're going to deliver a stunning blow, you know he would have done something, right?
Well, yeah, I think there's historical precedent there to say that's true, yes.
All right, Doug, let's talk Thursday. Let's see what happens, if anything. Okay? Douglas Hagman, HomelandSecurityUS.com, and this is a website linked up right now at CoastToCoastAM.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.